God, I am so excited that we get to come together again. You know that I've really missed the last couple of weeks, us not getting together on Sunday nights. And I'm just excited that you have decided to bring us together again. And just keep what we were able to have with that game and being able to laugh at a couple of people. And just pray that our time now would really just be focused on your word, and that we would be open to what your word has to say to us. And I just thank you, God, that that these passages that we're going to look at over the next few weeks, that you decided to speak to us through these passages. And I just pray that we would respond well to what your word says, and that we would respond by trusting you. Pray this all in your name. Amen. Yes, Alyssa. Bible Club on Tuesday. Yeah, if you guys go to Skyview and you want to go to Bible Club on Tuesday.
Tuesday or Wednesday?
Tuesday. What's that? Choir Room. Choir Room Tuesday at lunch, if you guys want to go. Yes, Tuesday. All I know is I'm showing up Tuesday at noon. Lunch. Guys, we are starting a new series called Temptation, Forgiveness, and Victory. And this series is going to talk about how we deal with sin in our lives. I know that you guys didn't have real specific answers there, like, you know, except for Ross, 45. You know, he knows exactly how many. 75, sorry. But I think you guys all agree that sin is definitely a part of our lives, and it's something that we deal with consistently. And we are going to talk about how God views sin and how to deal with sin from God's perspective, how we are to deal with sin. From this handbook that we have, the Bible. We talked about the Bible being a handbook. This is one of those very, very practical topics where God really says some great things about how to handle sin in our lives. Tonight we're going to start by talking about temptation. Somebody tell me what temptation is. It's, we got it started. The desire to sin, okay. That's temptation.
Does it have
to be like necessarily because I could be tempted to give someone could be. Do you use that word in that context? Do you say like I was tempted to?
I was tempted to eat that chocolate cake.
But usually, when we say that, we're saying that kind of jokingly. Saying that, like, chocolate cake is bad or sinful, and we say that we're temptation. Usually temptation involves sin, doesn't it, most of the time when we use that term, temptation? And definitely the context of what we're going to be talking about tonight has to do with sin. And Ross says it's the desire to sin. You guys agree with that? That temptation is the desire to sin? What's that? You can't agree with your brother. That's actually a pretty good definition. That temptation is something that comes into your life that is sin. There is sin presented to you, and it is desirable. It's something that you desire. We'll actually see that when we look at James chapter 1. Open up to James chapter 1 if you haven't already done that. Right on the top of your handout there. James chapter 1, starting in verse 13. And you're welcome to look up here if you don't want to look in your Bible. What's the page number? Anybody got a page number there?
8, 000, 12, 000.
Does anybody have the real page number?
12,007.
12,007? 12,007?
Yeah,
maybe.
1,207.
There we go. James chapter 1. Everybody look at verse 13. Shh. Everybody look at verse 13. It says this. It says, "Let no one say when he is tempted that I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone." So we've got the definition of temptation. And temptation is being enticed, is the dictionary definition, enticed to sin. It's something that's drawing you or trying to trap you into sin, is the definition of temptation. It's something that's trying to trip you up in your life. I would bet that most of you, because you follow Jesus with your life, you desire not to sin. You desire to follow God with all of your life, and you would like to live a life that you aren't disappointing Him, that you aren't doing things that are apart from His will for you. But temptation comes out there to trip you up in that walk that you have, I don't know why I was this way in high school, but anytime I had a chance to trip one of my friends, I did it. I don't know why, but it was just kind of an impulse for me. If they're like walking down the aisle in class, that I would just stick out my foot. And sometimes I'd trip them, sometimes I wouldn't. And if I tripped them, then it was funny. And if not, hey, no loss. I just stuck my foot out. But I always tried to trip up my friends. I don't even understand why. But this is something that's coming out in your life that is trying to trip you up. And some people believe that God puts traps out in front of us, or they would say God puts tests out in front of us. That God is putting something out there in our lives, and kind of sits back and kind of, you know, is like, oh, I'm going to put that out there, and I want to see if they trip up. Let me see. Oh, he blew it. And then he like put something else out in front of him. He's like, oh, let me see. Is he going to do it? Is he going to? Or at best case scenario, people think, you know what? God puts things like tests and traps out in front of me, hoping that I jump over them. He puts it out there, but he's hoping I overcome it. So he watches it. He's like, oh, come on, please go over, jump. Oh, he made it. Yes, great. And then when you fail, he's like, oh, bummer. You know? But that God is the one that is trying to test you in your life, is trying to test your faith. But James is very clear about this. Very clear. You can't get any clearer than this. That James says, and James was inspired by God, so God says that he is untemptable himself. Temptation is not even an issue for him ever. He could never be tempted to sin. He could never be tempted to evil, ever. And that he has never tried to get us to sin. He has never made it harder for us to avoid sin. He has never made it easier for us to sin. God does not entrap us in any way to sin. Temptation never ever comes from God. Not a single time. So the question is, where does it come from? Why are we tempted in our lives? If it doesn't come from God, where does it come from? We go on with James chapter 1, starting in verse 14. It says this. It says, "But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death." He lays out here a process. I love this when I learned this passage, when I was taught this passage. I love studying this passage because I had this idea in my head, and I don't know where it came from, but I had this idea in my head that every time I was tempted by something, I had already failed. Because something looked desirable to me, that some sin was something that I went, man, I do want to do that sin. That's a desire for me. I do want to fall into that. That suddenly I sinned. Regardless of whether I actually followed through with that sin, I thought, you know what, I blew it. But God says this. He says there's a process to it. it starts out with this. It's the first step is this, that sin is presented. Okay, that sinful situation is presented in front of you, whatever that you can think of, whatever sin that might be. And either one of two things happens. We're surrounded with sin, sinful situations and thoughts and things like that in our lives all the time. But either there will be no desire to sin, and that's not temptation. When there's no desire, there's no temptation there. Like, for instance, I am never tempted to murder someone. That holds no desire for me. That is not appealing to me in any way. I would never, ever, that's never been a temptation for me. So if that was presented to me, like there was a gun sitting on a table and Jesse was sitting there, my first thought, you know, the devil might go, oh, killer, you know, and I would be, there's no desire there. That's not tempting to me. But the other option is that there is desire. There is a want to. And temptation, in temptation, there's always a desire. Ross was right when he said that it's the desire to sin. Temptation is always a situation in which it's presented to you, and you look at that, and you go, that looks pretty good. This sin, whatever it is. Man, murdering Jesse, that looks pretty good right now. She just hit me with a spit wad. No, I'm just kidding. It's a desire. It's something that looks good. He says, you are carried away and enticed by your own lust. Those that carried away and enticed are actually two fishing terms. The first one is lured. You're lured away. Like it's like a fish, you know, that's in some seaweed or something. I don't know what's in a lake. I don't know. Some kind of shrubbery or something. And there's a fish back there hiding, you know. And the fisherman throws out and the lure goes in, and there's this like shiny lure out there. And the fish is like, "Oh, that looks really good." And it causes the fish to come out of hiding. It lures, that's why it's called a lure, it lures the fish out into the open. And then as the fish gets a little bit closer, the second term is enticed. It actually means to bait, another fishing term. As it gets closer, it sees bait, it sees a minnow or a worm or whatever you put on the end of your hook. And what? What did you say? Salmon eggs. Whatever it is, the fish sees that bait, and it wants to eat the bait. Does the fish want to get the hook in its mouth? No. But it wants that bait, and that's why a fisherman puts the bait on the end of the hook, so that the fish will grab on and bite it. He says a similar thing happens in our life when sin is presented to us, that we see that situation and it's attractive to us. It's a shiny little lure. You see that situation to talk badly about someone, and someone really treated you bad, and it looks really good to tell my friend how much of a jerk this other person is. That looks really good. The temptation's out there. And you start getting drawn into it, and you're like, that bait is there. It looks good. It really looks good. The important thing is this. Sin has not occurred yet. In this process that he's laying out here, sin has not occurred yet. Because the next step in the process is that there is, after the sin is presented and there's the desire for that sin, that's the temptation, then there's the moment of choice. You can decide to, yes, I am going to do that thing. Actually, I should be doing this thing. I had my little sins presented, desires there. Then there's your will. Either you can choose to not sin or choose to sin. Sin hasn't occurred yet. See, how I was defeated in my life is every time temptation came up and I wanted to do it, I went, I've already, might as well just sin. Might as well just follow through with it. I've already blown it. I've blown it in my mind. I think what I did is I took those passages that talk about, you know, if you've lusted with a woman, then you've already committed adultery in your mind. You know, that the mind has just as much of, you can sin just as much in your mind as you can in reality. And so that stuck with me, and I was like, man, I blew it. Because I wanted to do this thing of whatever it is. But there's still a choice to be made at this point. And you can choose not to sin or choose to sin. Now, if you do choose to sin, this is, again, the process of sin here, then your desire, the desire for it, you feel like you want to do this thing, and your will, your decision to go, yes, I am going to do this sin, they come together, and a baby is conceived. That's the example here. Then conception happens. And that little baby that is conceived is sin. Once that baby is conceived, there's no turning back. That baby is going to be born, and sin is going to happen. That's the example that he's using here. For us, a little more practical, is that sin's presented, desires there, you choose to sin, and the result is you sin. That's how sin occurs. And he says the eventual, when sin is, this little baby, sin, is full grown, it brings about death. And we actually talked about that in the last series, that sin is going to eventually kill all of us. And for many of us who don't receive what Jesus has offered us, many people are going to die for eternity. Death is the result of sin, is the eventual result of sin. That is the process of temptation. All of that to say, the point that's at the top there, which is this. Temptation is not sin. Being tempted by something is not sin. Jesus was tempted. It's not sin. But it can lead to sin if we make the choice to give in to our desire. You guys following that? Following what he's saying there? Flip over to 1 Corinthians 10. Verse 13. Huh?
Sin needs
or sin needs, it could be a thought, but it needs a choice. It needs the choice to do it. Once you make that choice, you're sunk. But, you know, you make that choice to talk about your friend, you're going to talk about your friend. It's that conception's happened. But there is always a choice. Once temptation is brought before you, you have a choice to say yes or no to that temptation. Do not be fooled. Think, I just kind of I always have to give in to that. Temptation, if it's there, if I feel like I'm going to do it, well, if I feel like I want to do it, I'm going to do it. You don't have to. You have a choice. 1 Corinthians 10:13. The answer here in 1 Corinthians 10:15 is to this question. How can we choose not to sin? We all know how to choose to sin, right? We all know when temptation comes, how to give in to that. We just go, okay, sure, we'll do that. How do you avoid sin? 1 Corinthians 10:13 says this. It says, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, will provide a way of escape so that you will be able to endure it. He says this, says not a single temptation that you will ever encounter in your life will be unique to you. Someone at some point has been tempted with those same things, and probably many people have been tempted with the same things that you have been tempted with. I would be willing to guess that almost everything that you've been tempted with in your life, there's at least one other person in this room that has been tempted with that same thing. It's common. Temptation is common for us. But he says something very important here. He says every single temptation has an escape. It has a way out. There is a way to avoid sin. I asked the question, how much do you sin? And I heard 24/7, all the time, some of those kind of statements, which I know were exaggerations on your guys' part. But a lot of us take that perspective. We go, you know what? We're just human. And so when temptation comes, if that temptation is strong, if it's something I really want to do, I'm not going to avoid sin. I can't control that. It's just my humanness. But God says there is always a way out. God is faithful, which means he is consistent. He is consistent all of the time and will never, ever, ever, this God who is in control of the whole universe, he will never, ever, ever allow a temptation to come into your life that you cannot escape from. It will never happen. That means every single sin you encounter, there's an escape hatch. There is a way out that you do not have to sin. Every single one. Well, how do we escape? Where do we escape to? Where does the escape hatch go? Hebrews chapter 4 says this, starting in verse 15, says, "For we do not have a high priest," talking about Jesus, "we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." He says something amazing here to start with, which is that Jesus was tempted in every way that we are tempted. There is not a temptation. Remember I said that probably every temptation you've ever been tempted with, someone else in this room has been tempted with that same temptation. Well, you know what? I can tell you for a fact, every temptation you have ever had, Jesus had that same temptation, that same desire. Jesus had situations that came in front of him consistently. Remember, we're going back to our definition of temptation that came out of James chapter 1. Jesus had situations consistently that came in his life that sin was presented to him and he wanted to sin. He desired to sin. That desire was there. See, a lot of times we think, oh, yeah, Jesus, he was like the perfect guy and he never had to deal with anything. He was God. He didn't have to deal with the stuff that I have to deal with. He didn't have to deal with the desires that I have to deal with. Jesus had to deal with every desire that you have ever had. He dealt with it. And so he can sympathize. Or actually, empathize is a better word. You guys know the difference between sympathy and empathy? Sympathy is, oh, I feel bad for you, but I can't relate to you at all. I've never had that situation. Empathy is, I've gone through the same thing you've gone through, and I can understand what you're going through. Jesus went through everything, is dealing with everything that you're dealing with. He dealt with. And he can empathize with you. He can understand how hard it is, how hard these desires are to deal with, how hard temptation is to deal with. So he says this. He says, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. Sometimes when, I don't know about you, but when I'm dealing with a temptation that is like a really ugly temptation, like a nasty temptation, my response to that is to go, oh, I don't want anyone to know that I was even tempted with that, and I'm definitely not going to talk to God about that because that was just nasty. But God, Jesus, went through those same desires, those same temptations. Draw near to him. Don't turn away from him. Don't run away from him. Don't try to go hide in the corner. Bring it before him. So that when we do, when we're tempted and we go before God and we go to Jesus and we run to Jesus, the one who can empathize with everything that's happened with us, he can empathize with that temptation that we're dealing with, says, so that we may receive mercy and find grace, not for forgiveness. A lot of times we think mercy and grace and we go, oh, God's mercy and grace, that's forgiveness for us. That's after I sin, I get mercy and grace. No. The mercy and grace he's talking about here is we will find mercy and grace to help in that time of need. When we are tempted, we need him. We need Jesus. We need to run to him and say, help. I need your help. And when we do that, we will find mercy, and we will find grace. He will help. It's the bottom line. The point there is that Jesus is the one we should go to when we are tempted. If you consistently, when you were tempted, didn't try to, this is my pattern, I go, I'm tempted, I can weather this. I can get through this temptation. Oh, there's some nasty thing on TV and I am going to have a lustful thought. I'm going to turn away and not look and, oh, I'm going to think about something else, you know, Flintstones or something. I'm going to just try to think about something else, you know, get it out of my mind. That's me trying to go, God, I can deal with this. I don't need to run to you. And I'm going to fail. I'm going to fail. That's why we fail in our lives. That's why it seems like 24/7 we're sinning. It's because we're not drawing near to the throne of grace, where there's help for our temptation. If we consistently encountered temptation and ran to our escape hatch, Jesus, and said, I need help, Jesus, I need your help with temptation, we would find victory over and over and over and over again. You want to know how to avoid sin? You want to know how to dominate sin in your life? Run to him every time. That's the answer. That's how you beat temptation. Run to him. Bottom of your handout, guys, says this. God has provided all the answers to how to deal with sin in our lives. And it's not us dealing with it. Trust me, that's not his answers ever. God has provided all the answers of how to deal with sin in our lives, and we need to trust in his solutions, not our own. Our solutions are going to fail every time. Our trying to beat temptation is going to fail every time. Running to him is going to succeed every time. Last question is this. What needs to change about the way you think about and deal with temptation in your everyday life? What needs to change in your thinking, and what needs to change in how you act, how it comes out when you deal with temptation? Let's pray and we'll go to our groups. God, I just thank you so much, Lord, that we can run to you. That when we encounter temptation, we are so weak. You say that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Our flesh, our own selves, we're just so weak. But God, you are the one that provides help. You are the one that every time can help us to overcome temptation in our lives. Thank you for being that kind of a God that we can come to, that wants us to draw near to him. You could be a God that would keep us at arm's length and make us fend for ourselves when temptation comes. But thank you that you offer your mercy and grace.